Please turn with me to Proverbs 2, Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 11. In the ancient Near East, there was a custom of referring to teachers and students in terms of the father-son relationship. And this is actually something that is applied to the prophets in the Old Testament. If you look at 2 Kings 2:12, you see that the prophet is called father. And even the prophets' apprentices are called sons of the prophets in passages in 2 Kings. The point of that is that the word of God in calling out my son is speaking of a teacher-student relationship. And we're all in this relationship. The book of Proverbs has already spoken of mothers. It's spoken to us generally. We know that we are sons of the living God through Jesus Christ. We are being addressed and being taught by the one who is wisdom's guardian in order that wisdom might guard us. It's important that we consider that single-minded attention that we are called upon to exhibit. That single-minded attention that we were just singing about in Psalm 27. One thing have I desired, to learn from the living God, to dwell in his temple. Verses 1 to 11. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. The precious word of the living and the true God. Some of you know about the principle of growing in Christ, the principle of sanctification that's given to us in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. It's a principle that involves effort on the part of the one who's being sanctified, but only because God works. Listen to what it says. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. You see, it's 100% from you, but only because it's 100% from God. It's God who works in you in order to accomplish this. And that's important for us as we look at our passage. That's important for us as we look at this chapter, because this chapter is actually giving you the way to draw strength from God, the way to find wisdom. And it's to seek it. It's to pay attention to his teachings. It's to reach the level where your relationship with God is right. You have a pious relationship with God because it is God who gives wisdom. And this wisdom is what's going to protect you in life, you see. Then you're going to know the right behavior because you will have received wisdom. And this wisdom is what's going to protect you. You see, God is leading you to the very place where you will receive protection. He's leading you to receive wisdom from himself. But this chapter kind of stumps the scholars, because they say it's not like the other Proverbs. It doesn't tell you the direct consequences right away. It just builds and builds and builds on the motivation to pay attention, the motivation to seek and to desire the wisdom that God gives. And then it tells you that God gives, and he gives wisdom abundantly to anyone who will ask. It's kind of like a circular argument. Seek wisdom to find God, and finding God, seek wisdom to find God, and seek God to find wisdom. Seek wisdom to find God, seek God to find wisdom. In other words, you're being led to see that there is a connection between the end of chapter 1, which we saw displays a place of safety by hearkening unto him, in chapter 2, which talks about receiving his words and hiding his commandments within us. We need wisdom. We need wisdom from God. And this wisdom is provided through the living God. There are statements that are made which are if-then statements, but they're kind of built in an odd way. If you will receive my words and hide my commandments within you. And then again in verse 3, if thou criest out for knowledge. Then in verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver. Then finally, in verse 5, you will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. This is what will guard you. This is how you'll be protected, because you will know right behavior from God. Because you received wisdom, verse 10, and because this wisdom will protect you. You see, this is what God is saying. You are being called upon to receive his words as children, children of the living God. This is something that is written to believers in Jesus Christ. Sons and daughters. But it says my son because it's a teacher-student relationship. It's a relationship of a father to his son. But we all need to hear it. It's here for all of us to heed, because this is the wisdom that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Isaiah 11, there was this statement, this prophetic statement about the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn there that there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The wisdom that comes from God was given to Jesus Christ. This Spirit of wisdom and understanding gave him knowledge and the fear of the Lord. In other words, Jesus Christ is now the source of wisdom. He's the source of the obedience that we need. We've already seen that in Proverbs. He's the obedient son who hears. But Jesus Christ is something else now. He's been given this Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, so that he might teach you. Jesus Christ is a priest who brings us to God. He's a king who rules over us and our enemies. But we also know he's a prophet. He's a teacher from God. Jesus Christ is the Word. Jesus Christ is the one who teaches us wisdom. When we hear this passage, we're hearing the call of one who teaches us the way to receive the greatest gift of God. The gift of his wisdom. Now, the important thing about this gift of wisdom is that we don't treat it lightly. But we don't treat it as, you know, just something that I can maybe get to when I'm in my older years. I'll be wiser. I'll pay attention. I have time. No, the call is given while we're young. This is specifically a call of the Father to the Son, the people that are that are growing up, who need to learn the way to wisdom right now. We saw in Psalm 53 that the fool will say there is no God. And it affects their hearts. It affects their orientation to God. And so we're being called upon to listen, to grow in a way that works out our salvation with fear and trembling, because God works in us. What is God working in us? Well, it says in verse 1, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Receiving the words of God, receiving from him. It's a call of wisdom. It's a call given to us that we might actually pay attention to what we've been given. We've been given the words of God. We've been given the words of God to help us. These commandments that are mentioned could be just the Father's authority, my commandments given to my Son. But that word commandment is used throughout Scripture to talk about the law of God. God has given us his commandments. He's given us his law, and they are to be hidden within us. Psalm 119:11 puts it this way. It tells us the purpose of the word of God. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin. That's the purpose of the word of God. That's the purpose of his commandments, so that we might not sin against him. He's given us the way of wisdom. Obviously, it needs to come through Jesus Christ, because none of us is righteous. None of us is able to say that we keep all of God's commandments. Even that one who approached Jesus in Luke 18, he said, I've kept these commandments from my youth up. But Jesus said, you lack something. He, in his wisdom, taught him about his own heart. And as God gives us these commandments, as he gives us his words, he also searches our hearts. And you see, this is the reason that we resist, the reason that we find ourselves slow to receive God's wisdom, because he's searching our hearts. He's doing something that only this book can do, only the Holy Spirit, by means of the Word of God, can do, searching our hearts on the inside to find if we are truly receiving and hiding his word within us. How do we get to the point where we're hiding God's word within us? Well, think of the ways in which you try to obtain something that you really want in life. How much work do you put in to get that thing? I wanted that item. I wanted it badly, and I worked hard. I set aside money. I put in my time, and I set my goal, and I put my life down on paper, and I made myself like an arrow that I might get that thing. And the Word of God is saying that's how we need to begin to orient ourselves towards the wisdom that comes from God, the words that he has given to us. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. You see how the call is given? It's given, first of all, to incline our ear unto wisdom. Now, he could have just said, no, pay attention. Pay attention, I'm speaking. We've heard that many times. But instead, he uses a word picture. He uses a word picture that captures our attention, because it takes more mental effort to understand what he's saying. Incline your ear unto wisdom. Tune in to the wisdom that comes from God. Make sure that you are set up to receive. Some of you are old enough to know about these portable radios that you would take in your hand, and you have to have a long antenna, and you walk around with them, and you have to get the antenna pointed to in the right direction, and you have to turn the dial, and oh, I turned too far. I have to turn it back just a little bit. And then you tilt the thing, and oh, that was the radio program I was trying to listen to. I missed something. And those of us that have YouTube, and we could slide the cursor back, we don't know anything about this. I missed it. It's gone. But what if your life was set to the wisdom that comes from God? What if your life was oriented towards God? What would that look like? Inclining your ear unto wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. It's speaking of the ear, which is external, and it's speaking of the heart, which is internal. I'm hearing the word of God. I'm hearing preaching. I'm hearing the word of God read. I'm reading the word of God in my home, in my own language. And God is saying, apply your heart to it on the inside. It's not just a call to the ear to get the antenna on the right channel. It's speaking of the orientation of our mind, our will, our emotions. We need to hear the word of God like that. Now, it's easy to say, well, you know, I know direction the sermon's going. I know this passage. I'm thinking about something else right now, but I'll come back to it. But if this is wisdom for life, if this is something that is given to us to direct our steps, if this is designed to guard us and protect us, then we need to pay attention, not only with our ears, but also with our hearts. We need our minds, our will, and our emotions directed. And we need someone to lead us who knows how to do that. And guess who it is? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. When he was 12 years old in the temple, he's asking questions of the teachers of the law. 12 years old. He's left his parents. He's in his father's house. He's asking questions, and they're amazed at his understanding and his answers. Because Jesus Christ, you see, is this one who came out of the as a rod out of the stem of Jesse. He's the one who had the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He's inclining his ear unto wisdom. He's applying his heart to understanding. And he hears the word of God, and it resonates within him. And there's deep understanding. It sinks deep down into him. As a man, at 12 years old, he understands more than the teachers of the law. And that's your hope, you see. When you incline your ear, when you apply your heart to understanding, you have confidence because you know one who has knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord. The very goal that you're given in verse 5. Jesus Christ is already there. And he's the one who leads you. He leads you to direct your mind and your will and your emotions. One of the things that he does as he directs your heart is he shows you where true treasure is. The Lord Jesus Christ. Where your heart is, Jesus says, your treasure is located. So that changes the way that we understand verse 2. Apply your heart to understanding. Jesus says, here's how you apply your heart. You consider where your treasure is. For where your treasure is, Jesus says, Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It almost sounds like Jesus is teaching from Proverbs 2. And he's directing us to understand the depths of our hearts. Our hearts are directed toward our treasure, the things that are important to us. And then he says in verse 33 of that chapter, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus says, consider your treasure, because the kingdom of God is the greatest treasure. And so he calls upon us to understand the orientation of our heart so that we might see our need for this treasure. And as verse 3 says, cry out for it. Cry out for knowledge. Now, in chapter 1, wisdom was crying out. Wisdom even went to the marketplaces. Wisdom became this street preacher. Wisdom is calling out. Pay attention! But as Jesus Christ begins to show us the need that we have to have our heart changed, to have the treasure in our heart correspond to what is truly important, we begin to cry out too. Crying out after knowledge and lifting up our voice for understanding. This is the language of prayer. This is the language of one who understands their need. Like that publican in Luke 18. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Not, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. Crying out, the living God, for mercy. And that's the way that we're called upon to cry out. Crying out for wisdom. Why? Because what we need to understand is the fear of the Lord. We need to understand the knowledge of God. We need to understand it, and we need to find it. That's what we need to find in life. That's what we need to find most of all. That's what we need the most of all. One man points out the significance of verse 5 by pointing out that these two phrases, the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God, are the poles of Old Testament faith. Awe and intimacy. Fear of the Lord. Reverence for him. The true reverence that allows us to put him first. But also at the same time, intimacy, to know that he's with us. Because you can have reverence for God without thinking that he's near to you at all. And you can have the idea that God is near without reverencing him. I was in Germantown talking to this guy in the park. I was talking to him about Jesus. You know, next to him was a brown bag, and I knew it was in the brown bag, because people were getting, you know, 40 ounces from the liquor store just up the street. Brown bag, about this big. And he insisted that he knew that God loved him. He knew for sure that God loved him. But that love that God had for him had no impact on his alcohol use, which had alienated him from his entire family, which had caused him to be abandoned by the people in his life. He was hurting them, and they were hurting him in return. And it had nothing to do with the love of God. He had a sense of God's intimacy, but he didn't have awe. He didn't have reverence of God. He didn't have fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord that was enough for him to put down the bottle. That takes a lot for someone who's been drinking for a long time to put down the bottle. I worked at the Whosoever Gospel Mission, I know. But what I'm saying is fear of the Lord and knowledge of God are needed. We need awe and intimacy. We need both of them. And guess what Jesus Christ had? Isaiah 11. He had the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He had both awe and intimacy. In his high priestly prayer, Jesus calls God Holy Father. Why does he pray that way? Righteous Father, he says. Why is he praying that way? He's God the Son from eternity past. Why is he praying Holy Father? Because of fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord that's given to Jesus Christ for you and for me. That we might understand that even in the language of prayer, Jesus Christ is modeling the awe that we need to have towards God. He has fear of the Lord. And he has a sense of God's intimacy. No one was with him in the garden but the living God, but the Father. No, everyone abandoned him. And then on the cross, Jesus cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That sense of intimacy seems to be fading, but it's all so that he could be the sin bearer, so that he can pay the penalty for every single way in which you and I fail to cultivate that knowledge of God. How do you cultivate the knowledge of God? Well, you follow the passage. Receive my words, hide my commandments within thee, incline your ear unto wisdom, the outside listening. Apply thy heart to understanding, listen in the depths of your soul. Let the word of God examine your treasure, the things that you desire most of all. And let them be changed so that you desire wisdom, so that you desire God and knowledge of God and the fear of the Lord above all. Cry out after knowledge, lifting up your voice for understanding in your prayers. Well, I pray. God, give me that thing, that person. Give me that job. But this passage is saying, cry out for knowledge, the knowledge of God, and lift up your voice for understanding. Because you see, that's what Jesus Christ came to bring. He came to give you that awe of God, that sense of intimacy with God that he had. He came to give you that. He gave up that sense of intimacy on the cross so that you might have it. Jesus Christ came to give you the Spirit so that you might have that sense of intimacy with God 24/7. When you're overwhelmed, when you're burdened, when family members are going through things that you don't understand and you can't help them with, God gives you that sense of intimacy. You know him. You know him on a level that your neighbors on the street don't know him. You know him because Jesus Christ has given you knowledge of him by the Spirit. And that's the answer to those prayers. Seeking wisdom as silver is for hid treasures, because God gives this kind of wisdom, you see. In the book of Hosea, we learn that the people of God were actually having trouble in their relationship with God because there was no knowledge of God. Hosea 4, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. They didn't know God. And then he says in verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he says in chapter 6, I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. If this is the basic thing, fear of the Lord, awe of him, and knowledge of God, a sense of his intimacy, a sense of who he is with you, then we need to come to God through Jesus Christ. But the good news of this passage is that God doesn't wait for you to get to the pinnacle of verse 5. There are active verbs here in verses 6 to 8. active verbs that describe God's actions. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his knowledge cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Do you see those active verbs there? He giveth knowledge, wisdom. Knowledge and understanding cometh out of his mouth. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Those are active verbs. God gives wisdom. And you know, the book of James undergirds that and gives us the assurance that God gives wisdom. You know the verse. James 1, verse 5. Let me read it to you. Some of you can already quote it in your minds because you've been calling out to God for wisdom. You've been asking him to show you. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Wisdom is something that God gives. And sometimes it's really the case that we don't really desire it until we have a problem in our life. And God gives wisdom, and it's the answer is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives wisdom to you through Jesus Christ. So the question is really valuing Jesus for who he is. Well, I just want you to think of an example like this one. You got a computer problem, and you've had this computer problem off and on for about 5 years. Off and on. It just keeps cropping up. Don't know how to solve it. It's frustrating. Causes you to tear your hair out. Comes at just the wrong times when you've got something due. And then one day God provides someone to live in your house who understands your computer. In fact, this person came from the company that built your computer. This person understands your computer because they were part of the people that built it. And this person is with you 24/7 in your house. And whenever you have a computer problem, from that point onward, you just call this person into the room and they fix your computer problem. Well, I promise. Or maybe it's a car. This car has been described by my friends as a bad luck car. So many problems. And then God provides a mechanic to live with you. And every time you tell this person about your car, they say, well, you know, let me just go downstairs. I've got a few tools. You pull up the tools. Within 5 minutes, the car's fixed. What you have received in those two examples is a person. A person with the wisdom that you need. A person with the knowledge to fix your computer, to fix your mechanical problem with your car. But brothers and sisters, what you have been given in Jesus Christ is a person to fix your life. You've been given a person who understands completely the problem that you are facing and how to fix it. Every single time. That's the kind of wisdom that Jesus Christ has. Wisdom, you see, is mastery of life. How do I handle this situation? I don't know where to turn. He does. He understands the situation. He knows where you should turn. And he's showing you where you should turn. Fear of the Lord, knowledge of God. And he's prepared to give you knowledge and understanding from his mouth. Verse 6 says, come knowledge and understanding. know how I know that Jesus Christ understands that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted on your behalf in the time when he was in the wilderness. Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil. Matthew 4 speaks of it, Luke 4 speaks of it. And the way that Jesus Christ was tempted was he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. And the Spirit led him to experience that temptation so that this display of wisdom might be given. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." What is the wisdom that Jesus Christ displayed at that moment when he was being called upon to do something that only Jesus Christ could do? Command stones to become bread so that he might feed himself? Demonstrate that he is the Son of God? Handle his own problems with his own resources, which Jesus Christ could certainly do. Why did Jesus Christ, in that moment, direct the tempter, the devil, to see that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? It is so that we might see the wisdom that comes from God. From the standpoint of the history of Israel, it was a fulfillment of what they failed to do in the wilderness, which is described in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, when it says that God humbled the people of God and suffered them to hunger and fed them with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, of the Lord, doth man live. Why was it that the people of Israel were made to hunger? So that they might understand that it's by the mouth of God that they receive his word. And he feeds them. They were actually fed with manna. They were fed with bread. But Jesus Christ is talking about something else, isn't he? He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the life-giving Word of God. This active work of God in giving wisdom comes out of his mouth. And out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. What is it that you were supposed to cry out for? Understanding in verse 2. You are supposed to cry out for knowledge in verse 3. You're supposed to seek it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. That thou shalt then, shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Knowledge of God and understanding that is involved in the fear of the Lord is what you need. More than you need the bread. That's what Jesus says. And he handled that temptation in that way so that you and I might see that we have someone provided for us in order to protect us from ourselves. You see, God has laid up wisdom. He's got it in a storehouse. He is actually like a buckler. He is one that enables people to walk upright, to strengthen them. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. You know what the language in verse 8 is describing? It's describing that pathway that you see in driveways sometimes when this little girl has been riding her bike every day. Sun, rain, snow, riding her bike every day down that driveway.
And that driveway has a groove in it. And every day that that little girl takes her bike out and she rides down that driveway, the bike naturally goes into the groove. And it rides down the driveway so smoothly. Even on snowy days, if she can get enough weight on the bike, maybe her father has to push down a little, there's the groove. And her bike follows that path. And you see, that's what God has provided for you. He's provided a path for you. The way of the saints. He's provided the way that you are to follow. Then this righteous path will help you to understand righteousness and judgment and equity. God provides for you by preserving you. In verse 8, we have the word preserve. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. But then in verse 11, we see the word preserve used again. Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. We see the word keep and we see the word preserving in verse 8 and verse 11. But the reverse, you see. This is a way that Hebrew poetry emphasizes something. It shows us the pattern in one direction, and then it reverses the pattern and gives us the same language again. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. He keepeth. He preserveth. Discretion shall preserve. Understanding shall keep. You are given discretion and understanding by the one who keeps and preserves you. That discretion and understanding are given in that pattern so that you might see that this comes from God. The discretion and understanding that you're given, the wisdom that you're given, is designed to guard and protect you. God is shaping your character. In Psalm 5, verse 8, the psalmist prays, "Lead me, O Lord, in my righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." In Psalm 25, verses 8 and 9, we read, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment. For the meek will he teach his way." God provides for us discretion and understanding. He guides us in his judgment. He leads us in righteousness in order to protect us, you see. He causes our life to go like that little girl's bike in that path, that we might be guarded and protected. In verse 8, there's a word used for saints that one commentator translates covenant partner. And there's a reason, because it's related to the word hesed, which has to do with covenant love. God has provided for his people to be partners in the covenant through Jesus Christ. This one who's protecting us, this one who's leading us, this one who's guiding us, enables us to receive from Jesus Christ the protection of wisdom. And how is that protection shown? Verse 10, wisdom enters into your heart, and the knowledge of God is pleasant unto your soul. That's when it begins to truly guide your life. When God makes the knowledge of his presence pleasant unto your soul, when wisdom enters into your very heart and you begin to seek first the things of the kingdom of God, and those things become more valuable to you than the other treasures of your heart that you had before, that's when discretion preserves you and understanding keeps you. On the rest of the chapter, which we'll see next week, there are going to be other examples. Examples of things that you're guarded against. But you need to see the positive point, first of all. That's why the Word of God emphasizes it. This has been the goal all along. This has been the reason for your seeking of wisdom, that you might find God. And this is the reason that you are seeking God, that you might find this kind of wisdom. Not just an outside wisdom. Not just a wisdom that I can download and say, I understand. But a wisdom that actually begins to enter into your heart. Knowledge of God that's pleasant unto your soul. Discretion that preserves you. Understanding that keeps you. Whatever I face this week, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has been given to me, and I have been bought by Him. Let me just close with this. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is this teacher. And the very opening of this chapter was calling us to receive God's words and hide His commandments within ourselves. To incline our ear unto wisdom and apply our heart to understanding. Cry after knowledge. Seek knowledge and understanding as silver. Understanding the fear of the Lord and finding the knowledge of God. And yet that might seem a little too abstract. A little too hard to understand. Jesus breaks it down. John 14, verse 15, he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me. This is when we know that the knowledge of God is pleasant unto our souls. We begin to grow in love with Jesus Christ. A desire to follow His commandments. And He doesn't leave us alone in cultivating that love. He says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Jesus Christ says, the expression of your love for God that causes you to cultivate fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God is something that's given to you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who dwells within you. What a wondrous thing. But the wisdom that we're supposed to seek, the wisdom that we're supposed to cry out for, that we're supposed to cultivate in our hearts, to seek as silver, is given to us by the Holy Spirit. But it's an expression of our love that we begin to reach the point where this wisdom enters into our hearts. This knowledge is pleasant unto our souls. When we exhibit discretion that comes from the knowledge of God and the fear of the Lord, an understanding that keeps us, that guards us, it's an expression of love. A love that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. The ultimate expression of wisdom is to be Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled by the one who was given a spirit of wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the motivation. Now, the book of Proverbs is all about practical examples, giving you real-life situations where that's worked out. But don't miss this call. to understand that this wisdom, this knowledge of God, this fear of the Lord is given to you to protect you. It's given to you to guard you. It's given to you, as Jesus says, to express your love for him. A love that's given to you by the presence of the Holy Spirit. See, God provides everything that he requires. He gives you himself so that you might have a sense of intimacy with him. He gives you the presence of the Lord Jesus so that you might grow in your fear of the Lord, in your awe of God. Perhaps today there's something that you would like to pray about this afternoon, something that you have been planning to pray about, that you have been praying about. And you need wisdom for this. You need to remember that God gives wisdom generously, liberally to everyone who asks. You need to remember that he has sound wisdom laid up for you. But you also need to understand that the basis of your call for wisdom, the goal of it, is so that you might have all of God, the knowledge of his presence, fear of the Lord, and knowledge of God. Perhaps you might start your prayer this way. Holy Father. And as you pray those two words, remember that Jesus Christ is leading you in your prayer. And then listen. Pray, Holy Father. And then wait for the Spirit to help you with the rest of the words.